Good morning. Let's give Jesus a real hand clap of praise. You know, one of the things that I hope happens when you just kind of go with me and give Christ a hand clap of praise is I hope beyond doing this, that inside, you're finding something to say thanks for. Amen? So it's not just kind of, yeah, he told us to clap, that you really go to a place of gratitude and truly offer him something that says thanks, because he's incredible, is he not? So let's do it one more time, and you just find a place inside that says, thank you, Christ. Amen. I want to talk to you probably for the next 4-6 weeks about faith. And I just want to ask you a question. You know, how many of you would be able to say that there are times you really struggle with an element of your faith? I mean, I think if we would all just take a second, we'd probably all end up with our hands in the air, because, you know, the truth is there's times that this whole thing called faith, the thing that we're supposed to have as Christ followers, sometimes the reality of our life stretches our faith quite a bit. Would you say amen? And so for the next several weeks, I'm hoping that we'll be able to be stronger in our faith than we are now. We'll be able to understand what faith is, what faith is supposed to do in our life, what we're supposed to be able to do with faith as well. So if you would, open your Bibles to the New Testament. We're in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 9. And we're going to read a story that, it just kind of pay attention, you know, to, it's a graphic story. It's a desperate story, and, you know, it's a father-child Jesus story. And, you know, you may be here, and you might be able to relate from a parent-child relationship as you read this. It may be someone else in your life that you really care about. But, you know, the thing we do a lot of times when we read the Bible is it's a story in the Bible. And so we kind of read it, you know, kind of as this abstract idea. It's not really part of what we are. And yet, you have to realize these are real stories. This is a real dad that had a real situation with a real child that went to real Jesus, and he needed a miracle. And Jesus kind of calls him out on something, and yet he obtains a miracle. So let's begin. We're in Mark chapter 9. I want to begin in verse 14. It says, "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him and greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid.'" Kind of like he's having a seizure or something like that. "And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' And they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming at the mouth. He asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And so often he has been thrown both in the fire and in the water to destroy him.'" And now look what this guy says to Jesus. "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Have you ever felt that before? You know, you're not really going to him in faith, but you're going to him hoping something's going to go on. Like, "Jesus, if you don't mind." And Christ kind of challenges this guy a little bit. In verse 23, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe." See, he turns it around completely, right? This guy's saying, "Lord, if you could do anything, would you just help us out?" And Jesus just flips the tables completely around and says, "If you can believe, then all things are possible to him who believes." And verse 24, I think, is where the rubber hits the road for most of us. "Immediately the father of the child cried out and said," what's the next words in your Bible say? "With tears." I mean, it's like this is a guy that's really emotionally kind of bankrupt in this moment. And he's realizing something about his faith right here. He says with tears, "Lord, I believe, but what? Help my unbelief." In other words, if this is going to require me to have perfect faith, I'm not sure I'm there right now. And so I definitely believe in you, but I need some help closing the gap right now. How many relate to this? And he says, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." The spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead. So many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he came into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind comes out but by nothing but prayer," and some Bibles don't have the word, "and fasting." I want to talk to you about faith for the next several weeks. And, you know, just kind of hold on to those verses 22, 23, 24 for a moment, where he says, "Lord, you know, if you could do anything, it would be a real blessing right now." And Jesus says, "Well, if you believe, then anything's possible while we're here today." And then the father, again, parent, child, he says with tears, kind of, "I do believe, but I also recognize I have questions. I'm not able to fully hold on to faith right now," because he's been watching this kid go through some tough times for years now. And so it's not like, you know, he's coming there with perfect belief that Christ is able to do something, but he has faith that Jesus is Jesus. And so it's kind of trying to connect the dots. And then, you know, we get to where the Lord responds to him. And the irony to us as Christ followers is we believe in heaven, right? We have these big ticket items down. I believe I'm saved by faith. I believe I'm forgiven for all my sins by faith. I believe I'm going to go, you know, see Peter and Gabriel and all of that one day. And yet, as much as I can say that and just say, "Hey, I'm going to heaven, I believe it," it's funny that Monday's coming though. Isn't that right? I mean, I've never seen heaven, and the truth is I've never seen God. I've never seen Holy Spirit. I've seen pictures of Jesus, and I'm quite sure they're wrong. So I've never seen the whole thing that I'm banking my whole life on, my eternity on, and yet when it comes down to I've got to wake up on Monday morning, I'm not sure the same God I believe in is in this room right now. I'm not sure he can help me through my Monday sometimes. You feel that? And so that's the disconnect that we live with, is there's a real world we believe in we've never seen, and yet the world we see is sometimes more real, right? And so we deal with these kind of stories like this dad is in, to where, you know, "I do believe, but I got to tell you, man, the bills are bigger than the paycheck right now. I got to tell you, Lord, I'm watching things not go very well, and I've been praying a while. I've got to tell you, Lord, you know, heaven and earth seem kind of disconnected in my life right now. And yet, if you ask me on any given day, do you believe? Absolutely, I believe. You believe for that? Let's pray." Amen? And the thing is, this story should bring hope. I hope hope grows in your life in the next several weeks, because this story, the dad admits that he has unbelief, doesn't he? The dad admits he's not where Christ just challenged him to be, and yet Christ responds to this guy and does a miracle for him. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like if you don't get the faith all lined up in your life, it's just not going to happen. And yet, this guy, just right a second after he admits he couldn't have perfect faith, Jesus does something for him. So let's pray. Father, I pray, God, that you would meet with us and that you would just help quiet our hearts right now, God, that no matter what we brought into this room, no matter what we're facing when we walk out, that we all need to be in the presence of the Most High God. We all need to hear from you, God. We all need our faith encouraged. We need something that goes beyond music and Bob talking today, God. We need something that dwells deep within our spirit. And so we open our hearts and our minds to you, and we want to hear you today, God. And so I pray that you would hide me behind you, and that your son would be the only one that is seen from this moment out in this room, and that people would be drawn to you today, God. And we will walk out of here, no matter what, saying it's been good to be in the Father's house. We thank you for it in Christ's name. And each of us would say, amen. Now here's humor for you. If you kept reading the story, and remember, we're the ones put chapter and verse in there. So if you just kept reading the story, they keep walking in a moment. And here's what, now the disciples just couldn't perform the miracle, right? And so that's how Jesus got in this mix anyway, is they said, Lord, what happened? Why couldn't we do this? And if you keep reading it, Trey, not right now though, okay? Thank you. I had to do that. I just saw him holding it up in the light. Like, here's what they start arguing about. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? And now just think about it. How can you argue off of defeat? And yet they're arguing. And Christ says, hey, what you guys talking about? And now, wouldn't you love not to have to answer that question? But he already knows the answer, right? And they said, And here's what he says to them. He brings a child to him and says, this is how the kingdom operates. It's the least that will become the greatest, and the greatest will become the least. And as you keep reading, he says, you have to become as a little child to be able to receive the kingdom. That's how it goes. And it's kind of, man, if you hang out with kids, they're a blast, are they not? I mean, they see the world differently because you and I have got it all figured out, and we know why the sun's there, and we see it every morning there. We know east and west, and we know what's spinning and what's rotating. We know all that. And kids just get up and ask the craziest questions, and they just see the world in a different way, and they believe in things you and I no longer believe in. Isn't that right? I mean, I'll give you an example. Christmas at our house. I mean, I don't know where you stood or stand on Santa Claus, but Santa Claus still comes to our house. I mean, it's incredible. I don't know how he gets through the chimney and does all that. And I mean, we've calculated, we follow him. We know how fast he flies. But man, you know, we have Kendall, Ashton. I think they're past Santa Claus. But we have a 9-year-old that Santa Claus is still a blast. And you know, when every year at Christmas when we get there, we feed Santa Claus. I'm always up for feeding Santa Claus, I gotta tell you. Last year, we looked up his phone number. You can Google Santa's phone number. I don't know if you know that. We Googled it. And you can call and leave him a voicemail, and we did. Santa Claus got a voicemail from Taylor last year of all the stuff she wanted, and when Christmas finally got here, anything that was on the list that had already been purchased, we had an updated list to make sure we didn't lose any ground on Christmas. But she believes, you know, that Santa Claus is going to come through. And one of the things that she's gotten on the last 3 years is now we're caring for the reindeer. Because, I mean, they're hungry. They're flying, the whole deal. And so 1 year we had to feed them. And I think it was pouring down rain a couple years ago at Christmas Eve. And we put the food out, and of course, we were all concerned that the food would wash away before Prancer got there. And then you go back a couple years ago, and she comes in, and she says, Dad, she says, could we ask Santa Claus for a sleigh bell off of Prancer? I said, sure we can. And I know this may not have happened at your house, but Prancer not only left a bell, he left the whole sleigh bells. All of them were at our house. And we still have them. I mean, we have Prancer's bells at our house. Isn't that amazing? And then this past year, she says, Dad, it would be cool if we could get a hoof print of Prancer while he's here. I said, no, that's stupid, actually. But amazingly, when Prancer was at our house, he took a plaster of Paris and put his hoof right in it, man, and signed it. And we have Prancer's hoof print at our house. And we get up December 25, we fed reindeer, we've got reindeer bells, we've got hoof prints, Santa Claus ate some cookies, drank some milk, and the house is happy because by a kid's wonderment, all of that took place. There's no, hey, do you think he's coming to my house this year, Dad? No, he's coming, I can tell you. How's it work? I don't know. You better get to bed. They just landed on the roof. And Christ said, listen, here's the deal. If you don't kind of have a childlike faith, there's going to be some things you never bring into your possession in the kingdom. That's what he says. The kingdom is obtained by childlike wonderment and faith. And isn't it crazy once we get, you know, I mean, how do we get saved? Isn't that a crazy story? You come to church or wherever you're at, you're broken, you're a train wreck. And by faith, you say a prayer, and by faith, God comes in your life and forgives you. Yeah, let's tell him thanks for that, by the way. Amen. But somewhere along the line, we start figuring it out. You know, it's like God answers that, doesn't answer that, and all at once we lose that wonderment, do we not? Because logic starts overtaking faith. Kind of like growing up, we quit asking questions because we know the deal about Prancer and we know about Plaster Paris. And all at once it's like, and we know, man, that sometimes the reality of our stories are really greater than our faith. And so for the next several weeks, I want to talk to you simply about faith. All things are possible if you believe. You see, it's the dad's believing that gets the miracle for the kid. And I think that's important. You know, there's many stories in the Bible. Sometimes it's not going to be your faith, but it's somebody's faith for you. And yet this kid, you know, has a miracle because of the dad's faith and even lack thereof, and him admitting that he doesn't believe very well and admitting that logic and all is tough to sift through because, and yet he obtains by faith. So what is faith? I know if you go to Hebrews 11, there's one definition in the Bible of what faith is. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's it. That's the only definition you're going to find in the Bible of what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Here's another version, rendering of it. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith. It's being sure of what you're hoping for and yet also being certain of what you cannot yet see. The Message reads it like this. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. And I love this thing. It says, it's our handle on what we can't see. It's how we reach out and grab things we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors It's what set our ancestors apart from the crowd. And then verse 3 says, of Hebrews 11 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were made of things which are not seen. Faith. This thing that's somewhere in us that's supposed to be able to grab the unseen world and obtain things from God. It's how you got saved. It's how you get through tough times. And yet there are times that the handle is too slippery and I don't know how to grab on to what I'm trying to believe for. Here's what the dictionary defines faith as. A conviction of truth. A belief. A conviction or belief respecting one's relationship to God and divine things generally, with the included idea of trust and passion born of faith and joined with it, faith. The conviction, the feeling, the belief system, the hope that there is a God and that he loves me and that he cares for me. And that, whatever that is, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the conviction of a God, the hope that he's real. Whatever that is, wherever that is in my life, that's the thing that's supposed to get me through the most difficult times I ever face. And if we'd be honest, it's in the most difficult times that faith is most difficult to have. Amen? Say amen. Y'all are really quiet right now. Amen. You see, I'm just going to tell you about my faith for a couple minutes today. For me, obviously, it's not that I don't believe, because I do. It's just there are times I don't believe well. And the challenge in my faith is typically when I most need to have the most faith. That's when I struggle the most with my faith. Is anyone else out here right now? You see, it's when the sun is shining and it's 72 degrees, low humidity, the birds are singing, someone cues the geese, they fly over, the sun is beautiful. That's when I have wonderful faith. It's when the geese don't come by and the storm clouds are rising and the phone call happens or something's going on. It's like, Lord, I desperately need to have from you. And then logic tries to kick in and what if and all this other stuff. And yet I need to be able to reach into an unseen world and obtain something that I need in that moment. And we all need it in those times. Amen. You see, it's not that I don't believe, it's that I don't believe well, and I don't know at certain times how much faith I really have. I mean, what is faith? You know what? When we go out of here and we have faith, what is faith? Is faith a voice? Is faith a feeling I have inside? And if I have the feeling, I have faith. And if I have no feeling, I have none. Is faith what I say to you when I see you at Food Line? Because I have faith. Is faith this thing that I make, this statement? I just walk around and say, by faith, and I just tell you, and I speak over it, by faith. Is that faith? I mean, because I really want to know how to have faith. Is faith emotions? When I cry with tears of joy, is that faith? When I cry and pour my heart out to God, is that faith? What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. What is faith? How do I know when I'm really operating in faith? And how detailed is faith? I mean, should I believe God that I don't have to take a Motrin? And by faith, my headache goes away? Should I believe God for migraines? Or for not migraines, you know what I mean? That he'll help me not have migraines. Or should I just believe God for life-altering stuff? Because I'll talk to some people and they'll tell you, man, you should believe God that you shouldn't have to take a Motrin because he can heal your little headache. And then you'll talk to other people. It's like God doesn't care about little stuff like that. I mean, but when it's a life-altering deal, you need faith. And so, I mean, even we are not clear on what we should be believing and not believing for. What role is faith playing in my life right now? I mean, take an honest examination of your life for a moment. Where are you truly walking by faith? And I would venture to say it's probably a very limited area of our life because we walk typically by what we see, not by our faith. Still out there? And if faith implies that I'm supposed to have this pure, untainted belief system that never lets me question God, then my faith is definitely challenged. Because I can look at a sky on a good day and wonder if I really know who created that. And yet, on a bad day, I can look up and really have to wrestle through a statement of faith. And here's how I know you and I have faith. This is good news. Romans 12 and 3 says, God has dealt to each of us a measure of faith. And what that means is a predetermined amount. Every one of us, God has deposited a little faith in. So I know we have it. I know it's in there somewhere. Where is faith? I don't know if you ever have this happen at your house, but in particular, me, Ashton, and Taylor have this affliction. And you just tell me if this sounds familiar to any homes out here. It goes like this. Ashton, Taylor, or myself will just kind of say to whoever's listening in the house, where are my socks? Where's the peanut butter? Where's the cell phone, whatever it is, and typically we're really asking Sean. And Sean will say, you know, in a response, like, let's just go with peanut butter for a moment. Where's the peanut butter? And she'll say, it's in the pantry. When you walk in, it's on the left. It's on the second shelf on the left end, right by the beans. And I don't know if this happens at your house. I'm telling you, me, Ashton, and Taylor have this affliction. You get these GPS coordinates, right? Second shelf, left in, near the beans. I mean, you can't mess that up. And then what happens is it's just quiet, right? The GPS coordinates have been given. And you have that silence, right? Because you know it's there, right? And you look for a moment, you kind of move the stuff, and then it goes like this. No, it's not. And of course, then, you know, the voices, you know how, yes, it is. I used it this morning. Well, you didn't put it back there. Yes, I did. And of course, you know, you got to ramp it up a little bit. I'm being nice right now. And then it goes like this. I'm like this. And then you know what happens next, right? Sean walks in. I mean, and it, she doesn't say it, but you know what the body language is saying. You're really stupid, aren't you? And so while you're standing there, she just reaches like right by you. And she walks away. Now, me, Ashton, and Taylor have that. Because Ashton can be in his room. Hey, Mom, where's the... It's right there on the end of your bed. No, it's not. You walk up. I mean, we've heard this saying in our house many times. If it were a snake... Anyone else understand this affliction? Yeah. Well, that's kind of like how I feel about my faith sometimes. I know it's in here. I know I'm going to heaven, man. I know God has forgiven me. I know the big picture, the big ticket items. But man, sometimes when I'm believing for things that are real time, it's like I can get on my knees and pray and yet get up from there and not be sure that I operated in any faith whatsoever, but it's in here somewhere. It's like I need God to say, your faith is over here in the corner right there, shelf two, so I can access it. Or I need him to walk right in my pantry and point at it and say, there it is, Bob. Because there are times, man, I will be honest with you, some of the stories of our friends and diseases and things we know people are going through, it's like I don't know where to find faith for people that I desperately care about sometimes. And man, I want to be able to reach in and grab with faith things in the unseen world and bring it into the world in which we live in. Does anyone understand this? Let's give God just a crazy hand clap of praise. You see, there are times I know what happens. You see, when I'm in the pantry, in my mind, the top to the peanut butter is blue, but we have red top peanut butter. That's the whole problem. And in my faith sometimes, I'm not sure I'm looking for the right stuff. And then again, I've already told you, I don't even know what faith sounds like. I mean, what do you say to people who desperately need what this guy needed from Jesus when you know you're struggling believing for them? Or even in your own home, in your marriage, in your family, in your kids' lives, and you see your kid just, you know, or whatever it is, being pummeled by the unseen forces of hell, and you desperately want to believe for God, and you know when you pray that all the other stuff is running through there. Is anyone tracking with me today? We were out on a dock Friday night hanging out with some friends, and a beautiful night Friday night. Stars, no clouds anywhere. And I think it was Venus, but being the guy that knows so much about outer space. All I know is it was a bright light in that corner. But I always act like I know. See Venus up there, don't y'all? And I leaned over to Sean one time just because I love nature. I love seeing God in the world, right? And I just leaned over to her and I pointed up to that and I said, so you think you know the guy that owns that, huh? And she just looked at me and she said, yeah, I think so. And I said, you think so? And she said, no, I know. I mean, isn't that incredible? To think you could go out at night and look up at the sky and point at whatever part of the cosmos you want to and believe that you know the guy that created that and that keeps all this stuff, you know, in orbit and all of that. I mean, man, I want to believe for a bigger God in my life. I want to somehow reach in and grab that and say, you know what? If you really are the guy that owns that, man. I mean, we think we're something. If we've got a deed to a vehicle, and we know the guy that has the deed to the whole cosmos, and certainly he can do some things for us, don't you think? It's not that I don't believe. It's that I struggle to believe when I most need to. Whether it's an outright miracle I need to believe for sometimes and I plod through that, or whether it's walking by faith even now for, you know, me and Sean and our home and just believing that the past is getting further and the future is getting closer. And sometimes you have to deal with, you know, a Monday again. Or whether it's, you know, just believing that there's a little corner of my life, you know. Here's what the counselor told me last year. He said, women are pancakes and men are waffles. It's like, okay, explain. And he said, well, we compartmentalize everything in our life. And he said, sometimes the compartments are just messed up. And it would be like, you know, if we looked at life, guys, as a waffle and you had syrup in every little corner but one. And it's like, you know what, I've never seen God do anything there. And it would be like, you know what, he can. You can look around everywhere else and find where God has done stuff. Why can't you believe God for that little piece? I mean, why can't you reach into the unseen and bring a miracle out to where you believe God can take care of all of your life? Not just the pieces that's always been on autopilot. You don't have to believe for that. But what about the part that might keep you awake at night, my friend? What about the part that you've just never surrendered to Him? Or what about the part you think you have only to find out it's not right? There are other times, I've got to tell you, I feel like I've gotten my faith perfect. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way. Just stick with me. I mean, there are times that I feel like when I've gotten on my knees and prayed, it was like I shot a hand up into heaven and heaven shot its hand down to me and we joined. And I've gotten up from prayer before and just knew that was done. Have you ever been there? I mean, thank God for those moments. Amen? I mean, I wish I could tell you they've happened a lot of times, but I mean, right now I'm remembering times and places where that's happened. So, I mean, they're mark your calendar kind of moments for me, but I'd love to have more marks on my calendar. But I don't know what was right about that moment, because I know faith is not a formula. If it were, man, I would sit down with a journal and write, okay, what'd you do right, Bob? What did you pray? I mean, record it. What happened here that you connected with heaven? And I don't know. Otherwise, I'd be teaching a formula today instead of a wrestling match. And then there are other times I see, like, it almost feels like we're hostage to our statements of faith. What are you doing? Just trusting God. Stinks, but I'm trusting Him. You know, What do you believe in God for? Hadn't done it yet, but bless God, he's going to one day. And it's like, really? I mean, you feel that hostage to your faith? And it's almost like our statement of faith allows us to remain a prisoner to the little corner that's not working out in our life. How many of you, last time I'm going to ask you, can relate to anything I've talked about today? Well, here's what I want to tell you. This entire message has been a setup. Because if you struggle like I do, I'll tell you the conclusion I've come to in the last 3 days of my life. There are times I have faith in my faith instead of faith in my God. There are times I think I have to conjure something up to make it work. And God just took a 2x4 yesterday and just hit me right upside the head and said, let me tell you what your conclusion is. You're believing in you and your ability to make things happen still more than you're believing in the character of me, of God, and the goodness that I bring into your life. And so anytime you put faith in something of earth, there are going to be times it leaves you short of what you're trying to go through. And so if you understand what I've shared today, perhaps you too have a mislocated faith. And for the next several weeks, I'm believing that me and you will learn how to attach our faith back to the character of God, to the goodness of God. That's the God that saved me when I was in my sins. That's the God that I believed in. I didn't have anything to offer the day I got saved except a desperate prayer. And so over the next several weeks, I'm hoping that every one of us will be attached to the Most High God, the God that owns that planet and that cared so much for us that while we were yet sinners, His Son died for us. So this week, if you would do me one favor, I want you to just, whether it's in the daytime, the evening, take a couple moments and just go outside and consider, do you have faith in the guy that owns all of that? Or is your faith in other things? And if so, get where I'm getting. God, help me to detach my faith to the things that I've created and to attach it back to your character and your goodness. Amen. Let's give him a round of applause and celebration today. This song Jeff's playing, that when they were singing Hosanna a while ago, man, that rocked my world. Because I was going back to the moment in Scripture when they cried Hosanna. And that was where Hosanna came in triumphantly, and yet he was heading to the cross. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. And it was where the people, Jesus said, listen, if they don't cry out, the rocks are going to cry out right now. And I thought, Lord, I pray you're coming in this room right now like that. And so I hope when we come together that Hosanna is with us and you make a clarion call over your life. Hosanna. Amen. I want to pray for you today. And if you just say, hey, Lord, I need to get some of this right today that Bob talked about. Would you just kind of in your own way, kind of maybe if you're comfortable putting your hand up during prayer, just saying, God, I want to connect with you again. I want to unconnect from some things, disconnect, and I want you to be my connection in faith. Would you do that while I pray, please? Father, I so thank you, God, for your grace. I so thank you, God, that you've walked me and Sean, our home, through some very, very difficult times. And coming out of that, it's been a tough time, God, but it's been the faith that somehow, whether it was ours, a friend's or a loved one, somebody has found that faith for us, God. Thank you. I pray, God, that for my marriage, my home, my kids, my family. Genesis, as we go forward, we would hold on to the Most High God in ways unlike we have. And that we would be able to reach into the unseen world and grab hold of your goodness. Grab hold of your faithfulness, God. Your love, your grace, your mercy, your power. And we would be able to bring you back into the world in which we're living. And that all things would become possible, God, as we struggle and win the wrestlings of our faith. And so as we leave today, God, cause every one of us to examine what we believe in. Cause every one of us to examine what we've connected to with our faith. And if it's anything other than you, forgive us, God, but also help us to disconnect from those things and to make a new connection with you this week. And to just pronounce over our lives, God, that you are good. And you have all good and perfect things in store for us. And so go with us this week, God. And when our faith gets tested, and everything in us screams to go back to what we've done before, help us to remind ourselves of the goodness and the character of our loving Father. So I thank you for letting me be here today. Thank you for what you're doing in my friends' lives. Thank you for what you're doing in my home, my marriage, our ministry. We walk in faith and not by sight. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And every one of us would say, amen. Come on now. Let's give God some real praise. I want to pray one more time before we leave. O2 groups, if you're interested in being a part of that, there's an announcement. We have a meeting tonight. Please kind of follow up on that. But you know, you've heard from me before. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I don't care what you're going through, my friend. I'm telling you. I love the saying, when you can't always trace his fingers, you can always trust his heart. There's going to be times in our life we can't figure it out. But I'm hoping we have a greater trust in God in the next moment than we had when we came in. So trust him. Whatever you need, God can supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory today. Amen. Father, receive our worship and giving today. We understand that every good and perfect gift in our life comes from you. We understand, God, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And God, for those that are just struggling financially, I pray for miracles right now, God. That you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that cannot be contained. And that you would bless the gift and the giver, and that it would be used, God, for your kingdom here. That souls will come to know you in ways that they never have before. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And each of us would say, amen. God bless y'all. Say hi to your friends before you leave.